listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, and again, welcome to New Chapel. My name is Joe, lead pastor here, and second part of our series, From Here to There. How are we all doing with this devotional? Did y'all get one of these? It's pretty cool, and yeah, you're welcome. And I actually spilled tea on it just before I came out today, but the video said that I wrote it. It was actually Kaya that wrote it, so y'all just give it up for Kaya. Did a great job on this devotional. If you didn't get one of these, this is actually our book of the month. You can grab this at one of the doors or at the cafe guest services. Just grab one, and if you're there and you're like kind of scheming, like, could I get two or three of these, just take them because they're Christians and they have to forgive you. And so, no, I'm just kidding. Grab gobs of them. Like, if you want to gift it to somebody and act like you paid a lot of money for it, whatever. God bless you. And so enjoy that devotional this month. It actually has a lot of practical steps to be able to get you from here to there. I want to ask you a question. How you doing with your New Year's resolution? That was feels like a lifetime ago, a little bit. Like, wait, oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing it up, Bev. You know, like I was trying to avoid maybe some of those things. And, you know, by the way, it is actually of the 50% of Americans that set New Year's resolutions, only 10% actually succeed. And so they're actually few and far between. But part of this devotional that I really like is there's a whole section where you can actually put down concrete goals and action steps. And so the people who make lists of clear objectives are 10 times more likely to achieve their said goals than the others. So you want to be 10 times more likely, write it down, write the vision, get some momentum behind the different resolutions or changes that you want to make in 2018. I was kind of researching all of this because it is a new year, it's an exciting time. I was like, Lord, you know, like, what do you have for the people? So as I was researching it, I came up with the top 10 resolutions of 2018. Go ahead and throw those up there, guys. The first one is this, to quit using tobacco. The funny thing about that is it kind of goes in between 2 and 1 year after year. Like, you know, I don't know if they're like waking up early to smoke or what it is, but like it goes back and forth. And so the second one is wake up earlier, go on a diet. You know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands in the room, but number 4, quit drinking. We're gonna pour out all the moonshine. Number 5, more hard work. This is the person that has an Apple TV. Like they just, it's their cross to bear. Number 6, become a nicer person. Consistently my number 1 year after year. Number 7, lose weight. So the person on the diet might not even intend to lose weight. Maybe they just want to go vegan or something. So 8, help people. I like that one. 9, spend less time on social networking sites. Anybody just want to shame the devil and tell the truth? Like how many hours you may spend on Facebook or Instagram? Number 10, earn more and spend less money. These are the top 10 for 2018. I thought it was kind of funny. They had the 11th through 20th there. I'm not going to read all of those, but the 11th was spend more time with family. Didn't even make the top 10. Like, I got to get on a diet and I got to lose weight. You know, like, that was 2 on there. But anyway, spend time more time with family. You know, you could have set easy things to achieve. You could have been like, hey, I want to gain 6 more pounds. You know, I really want to be able to polish off some more Doritos. You know, I think I could have finished Stranger Things in a shorter amount of time. I had it in me to be able to do all of that. I want to check Facebook 6 times a day. You know, all of those different things. Those are easy. And nobody sets resolutions to do that. In fact, we set resolutions not to do that. Why? It's easy to drift into those things. We set resolutions. We think about our life, kind of take inventory of where we're at this time of the year. Why? Because we feel this pull for more, right? Like there's got to be more to this thing. And if I'm ever going to end up where I believe I'm supposed to be, I better start taking some concrete steps toward it. And everybody feels that way. I mean, they both feel like kissing their loved one, and I got to do something about this when that ball hits the bottom of that building. You know what I mean? And so that feeling that we're made for more is huge. That draw is huge. It's this feeling of like, what am I going to be known for? What's my legacy in this world? Like, how am I doing with that? What is the perception that other people might have for me? I mean, am I living the life that I thought year to date? I talk to 50-somethings and 60-somethings now and again, and some in ministry. And I got to tell you, it's become fairly depressing to talk to some of those 50-somethings because their life, it doesn't reconcile with the dream that they had when they were in their 20s, and it's a sad story. Like, they ended up a little bit different than where they thought. And so that's a great question for all of us. Like, am I where I thought I was going to be? And I get it. You know, some of you guys had a dream of being like an NBA. You know, you're just a 4-foot white guy, and it's just not going to happen. You know, you could be water boy at best, okay? And there's pipe dreams, but then there's also, like, dreams. Like, things that you had in your heart. How you doing with those different things? And so the life that we want to live, this greater life, this more significant life, is a pull on us. And I believe that the Bible has some different thoughts and ideas and even answers for some of these things. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter 21. Just one little passage that I want to read for you here. This is John kind of summarizing the book. John, who was called the beloved disciple of Jesus, he actually wrote that about himself in the book of John. Like, I'm his pet, I'm his best buddy, we're tight. And he was kind of drawing contrast because the way Jesus led was very interesting. He had a right-hand man, and that was John. And then within that relationship of like an inner three, he had Peter, James, and John, his right-hand man. And then he had an extended group, which was the 12. And we're going to read later on in the service today that there was actually a group outside of that called the 72. And it continued and continued and continued. Jesus was a highly organized traveling minister. So John is wrapping up his book, his take. I'm the closest one to Jesus. I got something to say about him. He talks about miracles and the life change and really more emphasizing the love of God, but he does talk about a lot of details. And this is how he summarizes it in verse 24 of chapter 21. He says, there's also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And everybody said, amen. That's kind of an interesting passage. It's almost poetic, isn't it? I suppose that the world could not contain, you know. I mean, it's just a little bit flowery. And John, sometimes he gets a little bit flowery in his writing. But as I'm reading that, I think, okay, well, that's a stretch, you know. But it is significant. It sounds like poetry. It sounds like hyperbole. But if you really think about it, at the time that he was writing it, the books that existed probably couldn't contain all that Jesus did on the earth. It was a dynamic life. And this is the guy that was very close to him, that had an inside relationship, saying, it's just huge. It's just massive. And you know, you got to think about this. You know, as much as we think of that as poetic, really think about this. All over the city right now, all over Grand Rapids, all over the state, the country, and all over the world right now, people are gathered in rooms to study Jesus Christ, to lift his name high, to worship Jesus. And so for a man who we don't know a lot about his childhood, we don't really know a lot about his adolescence, we see his birth, and kind of the next time we dot in with him, he's like 12 years old, right? He's confounding some of the people at the temple. And then the next time we see him, he's 30 and he's getting baptized by John the Baptist. And so we miss so much in there. What we really have record of, what we have in our Bible, is 3 years. 3 years of someone's life. And even with that, it's an abridged version. There's so much more that happened. And so think about that. That's the impact. And I know what you're thinking. Like, well, that's Jesus. Awesome. 10 out of 10. That's why I'm here. Let me just ask you, what about you? So if the world could not contain the books that would be written about the great things that Jesus did, like, could I even fill up a book? Like, would there be a brochure that would even be, you know, readable about Joe Bevilacqua's life? Like, I've thought about that. Is my life, like, worthy to be filled with all of these epic tales? Am I living a life that would create volumes of goodness that points to Jesus? I mean, really think about that. In high school, I in my junior year, I think that they got frustrated because I was, like, on every page of that yearbook. I was just everywhere. And so my senior year was a little bit less, but you know, people would put in there, oh, Joe, you know, he's good at drawing. And other people, oh, he talks good, you know. And I'm thinking, like, that's bad English, you know. And so they kind of typecasted me. And then maybe it was the way for you, like, he's tall or she's cute or, you know, whatever it was. And isn't it amazing how we can get typecasted in our own life, like our own narrative, our own story? We get known for one thing. I still have a big long last name, but what they ended up calling me was not just my first name and not just my last name. They called me Joe Bevilacqua. Like it was one thing. And then it became Joe Bev. Well, I got typecasted as that. And so when the name came out, the nickname, there was a connotation. I'm sure you can see that happen in your life where we get known as a type. And it's not really the best of who we could be. It's not really who we want to be known to be, but we get typecasted. So I wonder in our own narrative if God has more for us. I feel like this time of year, like just normal people outside of the church, they're aware they want to go from here to there. And that pull, I believe, is God. We all do, yeah? And so write it down, kind of the big lump of today and everything else I'm going to unpack. God placed within us a resounding need for eternal significance. Like there's something in us that wants to believe that our life counts for something. And maybe for you, that's your kids, or you want to make a difference in your career, whatever that might be. No matter where you're at in this world or in this room, there's a pull that something wants to believe that there's a purpose for all of this, that something about my life has significance. And I believe Jesus, he killed it on the significance piece, right? I mean, like, here we are, worshiping the name of Jesus. I think he modeled it for us, but it might not be in the way that you would even expect. It's in the book of John, different chapter, chapter 13. Maybe you have the YouVersion Bible app. You can swipe there. I'm going to read it. John's Gospel, chapter 13. I'll start in verse 3. This is Jesus' kind of take. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and that he would return to God. So he got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin. By the way, business leaders, God is more interested in towels than he is in titles. And it says this, then he began to wash the disciples' feet. Wash the disciples' feet. Wash their feet, drying them with a towel that he had around them. This was a custom in the Middle East at that time where they would have servants in a house that would wash feet. If you couldn't afford a servant or to even like rent a servant, the person who owned the house, the master of the house, would wash somebody's feet. And here is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, going down. And they were like the Flintstones, y'all. I mean, their feet were all kinds of nasty, okay? And so he gets down. He takes off his robe. Now you have to understand, he's a rabbi. He takes off religion. He takes off the religious garb. He puts a servant's robe around them, and he gets down into their level. Can you imagine how uncomfortable you would have been? Can you imagine how uncomfortable some of the people in the room would have been? You're the Son of God, and he's washing their feet. It goes on to verse 15. He says, I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. Verse 17, now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. This is kind of abstract. You wouldn't think that this has a lot to do with significance or any kind of edge into changing from here to there or progress in your life. But I'm here to tell you that this is the foundational thing that flips your order upside down but actually gets your priorities straight in life. And Jesus models it for us. If you want to get from here to there, it's not just a selfish goal setting that you have for yourself. Set the goals, write them down, write the vision, make it plain. I'm all about that. I got vision for my life that you couldn't even handle to hear in this room. I get it, but that can't be all that it is. There has to be something more than just the things that we want to do. There has to be something more than you want to get a new pair of Under Armour shoes and you might consider a new car, a Volkswagen. You know, like there's got to be something more than just the selfish goals that we have for our year. There's got to be something greater that God has for us. And I believe that there is. And I believe that there's a place that we need to become well acquainted with as Christians where we foster this mentality. It's what Jesus said in another part where he says, he that is greatest will become servant of all. And so if you want to get from here to there, I have five concepts about this service piece, about this piece of you that gives itself away to everybody else. Five thoughts, write it down. Number one, the change that Jesus wants to work in this world is too great to be limited to us. Like don't we want to believe that? Like, it's bigger than just us, where we're at, what we're doing, our little world, us four and no more, right? We'd even love to believe that it's got to be bigger than us. This is what the Bible says in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, it goes on to say, to the ends of the earth. Let me just tell you something, guys. Jesus, did not descend from heaven, take on human form, go to a rugged cross, die a painful death, become resurrected from the dead so that you can accept him and have victory when you die. That's not the narrative of the Bible. I'm all about eternal salvation. I'm a believer in it. Be born again. But being born again isn't a blessing that we're waiting to croak for. It's a blessing that what we need to do is learn to walk out today. Does that make sense? Like, God has power for us. And know what it says. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, Pastor? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That endowing power from on high that changes things. God wants to empower you to make a difference in your world today. Power to get through depression. Power to get through grief. Power to get through financial disaster. Power to have stability in the way that you raise your kids. There's a power that God wants to give us so that we can have victory today. A power also that's not just for us. The scripture said that he's going to give you power to be a witness. And I believe that witness is, man, I'm going to be able to tell people about this. But that's double-edged, right? Like, it's so good you could tell somebody about it, but it's also like, I'm going to tell people about it to the ends of the earth is what it says. In other words, the blessing that God wants to do in your life is not meant to stop with you. It's not limited to you. It's meant to continue through you to serve and bless other people. Say amen, somebody. You know, you wouldn't tie naturally our need for significance in this world with God's plan and purpose to reach the world and send the gospel all around. But the interesting thing is, God does. He says that they're integrally linked. Let me put it this way. You're not going to realize the grand prevailing end call for your life until you get this piece under lock. You've got to have this thing down. There's part of your calling that has to be worked out in the same way that our Savior worked it out. Say amen, somebody. And this is backwards from what we would think, but this is where God flips the script. Second thing, from here to there is not a linear path. This, I hope, is very freeing to some of you, especially with me. Like, I flunked geometry. Well, let me put it this way. I cheated the first time that I took geometry and got an A. And then I got born again, and I felt really bad because that was the only class I ever cheated in. So I re-signed up for the class. I admitted my sin to the teacher. He was gracious, said, you can take the class. We won't hold it against you. And I flunked it the second time around because I don't like geometry. Amen. And so I worked hard at it. I worked diligently. The only takeaway I have is this. The shortest distance between two points is a straight. Amen. Give me an A for that one, somebody. Give me some credit. All the people that hate math are like, I love this church. I feel it here. Like, I really feel God here. With your calling, with your destiny, with your destination, if you will, it's not a straight line that's the quickest way. It's not a straight line that's going to be the most effective way. In fact, let me put it this way. If you don't hit some of those wonderful little detours that he's going to take you on, you're not going to arrive at point B. And I got to tell you, when I talk to some of those 50-somethings and I actually do some homework on their lives, and many of them have been very forthright. I missed it here, should have done this, should have launched out earlier and did something big, and all of these different things. Well, it's no surprise you're coming up short of it all. Now, I believe that the gifts and callings are without repentance. So if you're 50 years old in here, you feel like you missed the bus, jump on the bus. Let's take the hill. Amen, somebody? God is not a respecter of persons, and he does not look at age. And so we don't despise young people for their leadership, whatever. They got it, they got it. And we're not going to look down on old folk. I love my Q-tips. Come on, white hairs. Give me a little shout in the house of God. Amen. That's funny. I don't care who you are. And the funny thing is, when you're going on the path from here to there, point A to point B, when you're taking those little divots that God takes you on, it feels like you're losing ground. It feels like you're losing time. But in life's journey, how often do we factor other people out? Like, it's my story. It's my goals. It's my Planet Fitness gym membership. It's my finance. It's my money. It's my thing. Like, it's just it's my commute, my trip. Like, I've got my own plan. Let me do my thing. And maybe your plans haven't taken you from here to there because you're still doing it on your own and you're factoring out those precious little detours that God has for you. By the way, those little intangibles that bother you and distract against your life, that's what makes up your life, those little intangible moments that you have with people. And so I believe that God has something for you on a daily basis. Maybe in the course of your year, maybe you might have even a whole year that feels like a detour, but in reality, it's God drawing back the bow. Feels like you're receding, but he's drawing back the bow to be able to launch you into something great that he has for you. Kai and I were having date night, and we're big on it. We don't want to miss date night. Like, that's a thing, okay? And so Jack had been born, and we're taking the boys to their grandmother's house, and we're on 196. We're headed kind of from Granville, and you know how it's my hill, right? Like it opens up, and you can see Grand Rapids all at once, and it's, that's where we pray every time. And so as we're getting ready to go around that hill, I mean, traffic goes to a standstill, stops. And we're like, man, what's the deal? And 10, 15 minutes go by, and we in cars end up having to get like right aligned to let a fire truck and then an ambulance through. And we're finally on there for 45 minutes on that hill, stopped. I've never been stopped on that hill before. I mean, that was a very rare thing. It was a bad accident. And this guy in front of us, he was so frustrated. I mean, he was, you know, speaking in sign language to people around him because he was frustrated. And so he takes out a golfing club and golfing club. You can tell I'm big into sports and a golfing ball. And he tees off on the side of the road and he's like hitting balls onto like, you know how like, so if you're going into the city, it goes down, but there's also a little bit of hill that goes up and there's a whole bunch of trees. He's like shooting golf balls into the woods over there. And people are like, dude, let the ambulance through. And he's like, rah, 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 you know? And so we're sitting there watching this guy, like number one, taking pictures. Cause I'm just honest. That's hilarious to me. But then number two, we're grateful on date night that God has a Christian there, right? Like when the ambulance goes by, I'm sticking my hand out. I don't even know what that does. And I'm just like, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these people. There'd be no loss of life. God, I thank you that a Christian's here. And you can't, you got to kind of take the blinders off because if you're not careful, you'll only see your life no further than your nose. You'll forget that those little detours, whether they're inspired by God and he's taking you on them or they just happen, it's an opportunity to seize the day, seize the moment, to invest in other people. The journey that you're going to be on towards significance, having a life of significance, has detours. I think about Jesus and how he left crowds, thousands of people that he was preaching to talk to a woman at a well, one woman, one woman. I think about Philip, the evangelist in the book of Acts, who left these big successful crusades and the Lord led him by prayer out into the wilderness. And he's kind of just out there, doesn't know what's happening. And a carriage begins to go by and there's an Ethiopian guy that's in there that's actually a member of the court of the Ethiopian parliament at that time. And he jumps into the coach with him because he hears him reading out of the book of Isaiah and he begins to preach to him. Hey, do you know what this means? Let me tell you what this means. This is all pointing towards Jesus. And he preaches Jesus to this guy randomly. The guy gets born again on the carriage as they're going. As they're on the carriage, he looks out the window and says, hey, there's a river. What prevents me from being baptized? Philip the evangelist yells out, stop the carriage. They jump out, take the Ethiopian guy, baptize him. He sees him onto the carriage and waves. How's that for your discipleship plan, right? Like just, see in heaven, you know? Stuff to do, man of God, you know? But think about that. These are like the big timers, right? Like we think of Billy Graham, man, he was big time. I think that Philip the evangelist, who's in the holy scriptures of God, like he kind of eclipsed Billy Graham a little. And so he stops everything to minister to the one. Little detour. I got to go off. I got to talk to somebody. I got to make this thing happen. And so guys, listen, your calling is not linear. It's not A to B. And your goals can't be at the top of your priorities. Listening and hearing and following God has to be. And just think about Jesus. What did he do? He said, the things I see my Father do, I do. And so what you need to do is you need to follow Jesus. The things you see him do, you do. And so, man, so much more I could say. But third point is this. Write it down. Although our path from here to there is not linear, an investment in serving others is indeed an investment toward our destination, towards where you're trying to get, towards, and let me put it this way in the context of this message, towards getting your need for significance met. Now, we read that passage, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he served them. This is what it said at the end. We already read it, but it says, I've given you an example to follow, do as I have done to you, and now that you've done these things, God will bless you for doing them. You know, when we say bless you in church, either somebody sneezed or we're doing it kind of in that, like, you know, passive-aggressive southern way where if you don't think somebody's cool or if they do something stupid, you're like, God bless their heart. You know, and the rest of that sentence is, God bless their heart and their stupid head, right? Like, you know, when we say bless you and stuff like that, I think we dilute a little bit of the meaning that God has for us. This is what that word bless means. It's the Greek word makarios. And it's built of a couple different words, but the first word in there is mak. Mak means this. It's to enlarge, and to use it properly, it's when God extends benefits, advantages that he confers on somebody. They become blessed. Now, that's just mak. Makarios, blessed, is this. It describes the believer that's inviolably fortunate. They find a position of receiving God's provision in the form of favor, which literally extend, make large, make big God's grace and benefits on their behalf. That's what it's saying. It's a transactional thing. In other words, think of it this way. It's not like, hey, if you do this, I'm gonna slide a hand and pay you back. It's not about that. This is you positioning yourself under the blessing of God, and you are receiving. You become blessed when you go and follow him under those things. It is transactional, though. Like, you have to do something in order to see results in your life. That blessing is not just some intangible, willy-nilly, hippie, braiding your hair inside of a field, bless, I'll just bless you. It has nothing to do with that. It is a concrete thought. The way that the writers of the Bible wrote this, they selected that word. You want to be blessed. What is that talking about? Significance. Intrinsic significance. It said that it's gonna enlarge you. What is that saying? Your life is going to be enlarged. I've got a big life. Why? Because all of you are in it. Do you know that? My life's huge because I get to see all of you guys. My life is so much bigger than it was before I received my calling, before church, when it was all about me. I have all of you in my life. My life is huge now. There's people that are excited for me when we got into the building. There's people that are excited when we have babies. My life is big. Well, you're the pastor. Wash that away. Get into a small group. Find people that are excited to cheerlead you on. Man, you got that promotion? Good on you. Man, we're excited. You have a baby, and they just show up with food. You didn't even call them, you know? Like, that's what we want. That's what we need. We want a big, blessed life. Say amen, somebody. And that's what God wants for us. Your blessing in this life is literally tied to your obedience, your willingness, your heart to serve other people. Wow. That's huge. You're not just blessed because you went to small group or a Bible study. You're blessed. Your life becomes bigger when you're serving other people. And if your life is all about you, it's very, very small. My encouragement is this. Jump out of yourself. You're boring. More boring than you might even realize. Jump into God's call of serving other people, loving other people, investing in other people. That's the truest and greatest investment that you can make, is in someone else's life. Amen, somebody? Man, I got to move on. Number four, and this is a short point, but this is a huge thought. There's a part of your faith that you just won't get until you're serving someone else. Jesus kind of went through a whole progression. I'm just going to kind of give you the honey hole, right, if you're an American Pickers person. He says, what you do to the least of these, you've done unto me, right? That's the concept. That's the principle, that when we do it for other people, even the least people, if you will, in this world, you're actually doing it to Jesus himself. That's how he looks at it. He takes serving that personally. And then he says in another passage, I think it's in Proverbs, he says, if you lend to the Lord, he says, the Lord will repay. I want you to think about the people that are back there serving your kids right now, who haven't been into a church service in a while, but they're back there and they're serving and they're loving on your kids and they're doing it. Who are they doing it for? And Jesus takes it personally, as though you're doing it for him personally. He looks at it with those eyes. He sees everything that you do. You might have fallen through the cracks even here at New Chapel. Let me just tell you something. We may have missed it. We may not have regarded you. We may not have commended you, but God sees everything that you've ever done beginning to end. He sees your heart. And I'm just going to tell you something. When you do that, when you invest in people, listen to me, guys, people that can't pay you back, that's an element of your faith that you just will not get. You won't understand until you begin to invest in other people, serve with other people, love on other people, love people that are different than you, invest in people that are different than you, make a friend with a different race if you got a racism problem, like love on them. Maybe you have a hard time in traffic and you need to do what Pastor Joe's had to do multiple times in my Christian walk, where I've got to park a car and look at a busy road and say, those are people, God, those are people, those are people. They're not obstacles, they're not obstacles, they're not obstacles. I'm still like stomaching a lot of that, you know, like pray for your pastor. But you got to look at some of those different things and really examine them and see them for what they are. Number five, I told you, be short. Fifth thought is this: when we serve others, it's paving the way for the greater narrative that God has for the world today. He has a prevailing purpose that he's trying to accomplish. And so this is what it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns. Some of you guys just thought that there was the 12 disciples. No, there were 72, and outside of that, there was a group of 150. Jesus was incredibly organized. He had an accountant. They were taking in so much revenue. In fact, you know what his name was? Judas. And so, it was a detailed organization. I mean, it was incredible. And so what he's doing is he's getting ready to expand his organization. He says, you 72 guys, you go out there. I want you to go ahead of me. You're paving the way for all of this. I want you to notice this. He sends the disciples, the servants, ahead of him. Like, before Jesus shows up, the servants show up. Hear me. That's the order he likes to roll with. Before Jesus shows up on the scene, there's serving that's happening. There's loving one another. There's you using your... He sends the servants ahead, and then Jesus comes in. And so, you know, there's more to that scripture I'm going to read, but hear me for a second. Like, there is a prevailing purpose that God is trying to get done that you serving... And I'm talking about outside of this place. Like, buy coffee for somebody and just say, hey, man, God bless you. Like, you don't need to sit down and, like, explain the last great series that changed your life at New Chapel for the next 45 minutes. It was just a cup of coffee. You weren't, like, buying their time. Just bless them. God bless you. If they want to know more, if they want to ask a question, they can do it. You know what I'm talking about? If you feel led, I mean, God bless you. But listen to me. Like, just bless somebody. What if you're seeing somebody that they're really struggling and you help them through a door, help them carry their stuff or do whatever? And I get it, it's 2018. When I'm in an airport, everybody's a terrorist. I don't want any help with my luggage, right? Shame the devil and tell the truth. So I get it, people are a little bit touchy, but if you could do it in somewhat of a normal way, maybe ask permission before you grab, you know, a handle on something or whatever, like you might get stun gunned if you do that. But if you begin to invest in other people and just bless them. I was talking to somebody at Starbucks. I go there to study on Sunday mornings, and I went through the line, and I've seen her week after week after week. She's become aware that I'm a pastor. I try to hold that back for a long time because people treat me so weird when they find out that I'm a pastor. So I just try to be, what do you do? I'm in the people business, you know, like in other things. So what do? You know, and so for the longest time, I was able to kind of hold that off, but she became aware of it, and it's cool. She's cool. She's kind of like asked little questions now and again, and I think it was last week, she wasn't feeling well. And I said, well, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to take up any of your time. I'm not going to take up your company time. They're not paying for her to pray. They're paying for her to work. So I'm like, listen, I'm just going to go over there, and I'm going to pray for you. And when you see me, you're going to see me just for a couple of seconds. I'm going to have my head down. I'm going to pray for you, and you can just know. And if you ever need to talk about whatever, like, I'm here. And she actually went home early that day, so I didn't get to follow up. But you know the cool thing is? She knows that a Christian was praying for her. She knows that somebody cares to take time out of their schedule, the things that they want to get done, for God's prevailing plan, the greater thing that he wants to do in the world. Last night, I had to get an Uber ride. We had a little bit of car trouble. And so got an Uber ride, had to do some shopping. And the lady that I was talking to, she was giving me a ride back from Target. And as I was talking to her, she's talking about how she was abused in her former marriage. And she started a nonprofit to help women who were abused get out, get counseling, help them find their spot. And as we're going through this whole thing, if she would have invited me to her church, I might have left y'all and just been like, this is awesome, right? Like her serving, her service, her love for other people captivated my attention. And that kind of goes back to louder than words, right? Like, I think the world's tired of hearing, Jesus is Lord, repent and be baptized, you're going to hell. What they need to see is the people that have been touched by Jesus to do what he said, like, you'll be blessed if you do these things, and shut your mouth and just serve somebody. That's a little bit Southern, right? Yeah, absolutely. Give the Lord a hand. Hey, there's a time to talk. There's a time to witness. You know when it is? It's when you built a relationship and they built respect for you. It's when you're not acting like a weirdo. Many granola Christians, you flakes and your fruits and your nuts out there and making my job harder. Just act normal. Give them a granola and walk away, you know? It continues, that passage in Luke. He says, these are the instructions that he gave to them. The harvest, this thing I'm trying to do, guys, listen. It's great. And the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers onto his fields. Workers, I got to get some help doing this thing. This is Jesus Christ who says this: the gospel's not going out unless I partner with man. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is not preaching the gospel. Wouldn't it be much more convenient if Jesus would just hover over Africa and preach who he is and they all just get saved? He can't. He won't. No, listen to me. He can't. He ascended into heaven and he gave a great commission unto man. He will never violate his own word. That commission is on us. We've got to go out there and work this thing. We've got to spread this message. How do you do the message? You serve. You love on people. People have been asking, what's the vision for New Chapel, Pastor Joe, in 2018? I'm going to talk a little bit about it this month. I don't feel an incredible amount of pressure to have like just one day where I just spill the beans on everything in January, but I'm going to trickle it out to you. But one thing that's going to happen is in the month of February, on February 4th, and I want you guys to get excited about this. Help me out in the room. We are going to be going to two services, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Yeah, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm excited about that. And here's the next thing, and I want you to even get louder because that was terribly weak. I want you to get crazy. I want you to kind of lose your mind. We have every volunteer that we need to be able to pull off these two services. Give the Lord a hand. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about it. Now, I got to tell you, not all of them are signed up. Some of them just applauded me, but what you doing, Pastor? I just flipped the script on you. You walked into that one. Some of you guys were smiling while you were clapping. Now you're like, Brad, you're on the schedule. Okay, so 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Let me tell you why, okay? You look around the room, and I want you to imagine for a second you're a family of four, and you're trying to find four consecutive seats. It's hard to find. We have a rule in my world where we like to do like an 80-20 rule where you like the room to be about 80% full and 20% empty. Only preachers like packed out rooms, and I do. Like, it's fun. It's a riot. Easter, everybody's shouting. That's great. But what do normal people like? If you're an outsider trying to find a church, and the only thing that you could relate a gathering like this in, which is like, nowhere else in our lives do we sing except like the Rotary, you know? And so like this, it's a lot, right? The only thing that a normal family who's irreligious, outsider, could relate it to is a movie theater, and so could you. My prayer is that I'm the only one in that movie theater. I want to put my feet up on the back of the seats. I don't want, you know, when they come in, back when before they assigned your seats and they'd sit right in front of you, that was deeply personal. What's wrong with you? We're trying to have a good night. You're going to come up. I've become cultured with age, haven't I? And so back in the day, I'd be like, are you kidding me? And Kaya and I would stand up and she'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'd take her and we'd go back. We'd go like to the row in front of us, but I'd leave my coat. Yeah. How you doing? Yeah. A little trick of the trade right there. And so now they assign your seats. So we're doomed. But anyway, back to preaching the word of God. When you go into a movie theater, you want it to be empty. You want space. What's another thing about a movie theater? Can you imagine if Star Wars only had one showtime and it was 10:30 on Sunday mornings? No, they got showtimes and all kinds of showtimes. Pretty soon they're going to be adding the Getty. That's my confession in Jesus' name that Getty drive-in is going to be opening soon because we're going to have an unseasonably early spring in the name of the Lord. Sun's going to come back early for no reason. And so they're giving you tons of options and venues and ways to do it. And I just feel like when we say, hey, it's 10:30 on Sunday, see you there. Like, well, wait a sec. I work late or my shift starts at a certain time. More options is a better thing. And then if you're a family of four, you'd have a hard time finding four consecutive seats in this room right now. And so the 9 o'clock service is going to be a great opportunity to kind of divide up our 10:30 to a 9 and 11. Now, you're like, Pastor Joe, why are you starting on Super Bowl Sunday? You know, the funny thing is Super Bowl actually does not really affect our attendance, and I think it's because the anointing flows from the top to the rest of the body, and I'm just, I, Brad, your laugh makes me laugh. I go to Super Bowl parties because I like dip. Anybody else like it's just, why does he have a spoon? I don't want the carbs. I don't want to waste it on carbs. I'm going to just try this out, you know? And if you weren't looking, I'd be doing the three corners on a chip before I'd eat it, too. You're like, gross. Good. Don't eat it. And so on that Sunday, Pastor Tommy Pinkerton's going to be here. It's going to be It's good. I mean, you need to invite somebody. It's going to be a big deal. 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It's just going to be famous. It's going to be amazing. And so the options that we're going to have with this are going to be great. But like I said, we need some of you guys who were clapping with smiles on your face. That was awesome. To join the team. And so, Pastor Joe, how can I use my gifts and my talents to serve people? Oh, I'm glad that you asked. You set me up so well for this. Go ahead and throw that slide up there. Guys, three different areas in service. That's inside the auditorium. Out service, that's everybody that's not in kids, but they're outside of this room. And then the kids ministry, three different areas. In service is tech. Those are the people down there who are doing all the different tech things right now. They're back there messing around with knobs and buttons. I have no idea what they're doing, but they look good doing it. Especially you, John. And so the worship team, maybe you can sing, you know, and if you can't, we'll let you know. Ushers. ushers, we need more ushers. I'm just going to tell you, where is this kind of weighed? It's weighed a little bit towards tech, ushers, and worship, that kind of in that order. And so how many people do you need? The number's right up there. I need 12 people. I need 12 people today. Like, this is all hands on deck. This is pastor. I love you. I rarely throw the hammer down, and when I do it, it's kind of funny. Like, 12. I need 12 of you to sign up today. Out service. These are the greeters. These are cafe, guest services, door greeters, security team. Here's the cool thing about this group is that though you are serving, you still get to come into church. And so the paradigm when we're doing 9 and 11 is sit one, serve one. What does that mean, Pastor Joe? There's people back in kids that when we only have one service, there's no opportunity to get in if you're scheduled that week. We have people that, I mean, to our detriment, like it's not a good job. We've scheduled them week after week after week. We want to give them an opportunity to come in and worship. For most of these that are in service and out service, you get to serve and attend church all in one shot. That's awesome. And so how many people do we need in out service? 8. Now, here's the cool thing. You've been considering kids, but you've been a little bit hesitant. Why? Because, man, I got to get built up. I got to have something to give those kids. I understand. And so with the sit one, serve one, for example, you could come to the 9 o'clock service and attend church and worship God and hear the message. And then at the 11 o'clock service, you could go back to kids and serve them, or vice versa. So with kids, we have nursery, preschool, elementary, the check-in table, and then also we've got a little bit of tech needs that are back there. Pretty simple stuff. If you can operate your Facebook, you could do tech back in that room. And so, guys, three simple areas, and 12, 8, and 11 in these different areas. How do we do it, Pastor Joe? I want everybody, take out this connection card right now. Go ahead and take it out right now. Everybody in the room. Y'all know I got a great view. I can see if you're not doing it. I'm going to begin to call people out. So get out the connection card. I want you to hold the connection card. Everybody hold up your connection card. Everybody say, this is my connection card. I can have what it says I can have. Oh, sorry, different church. Okay. Saucy today. This is the connection card. I need you to fill it out. And I need you right on the back. Everybody kind of turn to the back and look at it. I'm interested in signing up for, and you can see some of these different areas. Some of these different areas, we haven't even created the ministry yet, but you might be interested in it, okay? Specifically, this is the need at New Chapel, and I believe that we can do it. And so here's what I want you to do. Take out your pen right now, fill it out. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to leave the room and you're going to excuse yourself out of it. You're going to talk yourself out of it. We're going to be talking in January of 2019 about the value of serving, and you won't have done it, and you're going to wonder why. Let me just tell you, it's concrete steps. What some of you guys need to do is, you've known you're supposed to do it for a while. You need to shoot yourself in the foot and turn the card in simply because you've been resisting. And it's just going to absolutely put your flesh on the grill. Sign up to serve. And if you're like, listen, I am not called to serve here at New Chapel, I'm going to tell you, you're probably in the minority. I've always dreamed of a church where somebody could come here and catch their breath and just receive. And so if that's you, just come here and receive. Amen. But I'm going to kind of put this before you. The team came up with this list. I'm just going to say, the people that would fulfill these numbers are in the room right now. Like, it's happening. And so don't talk yourself out of it. Maybe you don't feel qualified. Well, that's cool, because God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And so maybe you're a little rough around the edges. You cuss in traffic. You were that person right now. You feel very uncomfortable because you were golfing on 196 and you've been had. We need you to be an usher. Okay, like I need you to sign up for the usher team or security. Like, you can bring that little bat with you. I don't care, you know, like. But I need you to sign up. I need you to sign up today. I need you to not make excuses about it, because listen, guys, we've got something to do here. And just to let you know, like, what's the schedule, Pastor Joe? Hopefully, with most of us, we can do a sit one, serve one, and have it be like an every other week. With some of you, you might have different schedules or whatever. We'll work with all the scheduling. We just got to know what's going on in your life. And then as far as training, we're not just going to throw you in with the wolves. Like, I've got a heart for kids. Okay, great. Teach a class. No, it's not going to happen. We're going to have you do what we call a shadow session, which means that you're in the room, you got the lanyard on, you're doing your part, you're hearing, you're listening, you can ask questions, and there's no pressure on you to teach, for example, back in kids, until you're ready to. And most of the people back in kids are primarily caring for the toddlers and in the nursery. And so there might be an area that you can plug in there, and we will want to train you with all of that. So we set apart a special night, that night that Pastor Tommy's coming, Tuesday the 23rd at 6 o'clock. We're all going to come together. We're going to pray. I'm going to talk for maybe 5 minutes, just some general standards for all of us. And then we're going to break into those three major headings. And what's going to happen is you're going to go and work out what it means to serve in these areas. And then you're going to have an opportunity to practice right before we hear an encouraging message that I'm just going to, like, a little spoiler alert, it's going to have a lot to do with serving, okay? And so you don't want to miss that night. You don't want to miss the opportunity. And so that connection card, guys, listen, I want it to burn in your hands right now. I want it to be like, oh, man, it's time. It's time to do it. I don't feel qualified. Oh, you. By the way, church people are the ones that don't get along with me. I get along with you. If you feel like you're not qualified, let's go to Applebee's together. Like, I love you. So don't feel like you're factored out just because you don't feel like you're perfect. Amen, somebody? We're a church surrounded by imperfect people. And if you think that you're perfect, you're looking for the perfect church, don't go. You're going to mess it up because you're imperfect. And so, guys, let me tell you my story real quick. Serving other people changed my life. It's where I discovered my call. I mean, it was literally like week two or three that I rededicated my life to the Lord, that I was working camera in the back of the room filming my pastor. And I got promoted. I got to do PowerPoint. And I was able to hit that little button. And I would go through service after service. It was kind of an exciting time at that church. There was four services on a Sunday. And I was going through all of them and listening to the pastor. And it changed my life. That's actually where I met my wife. For those of you that are single in this place, here's how you want to do it. You want to be running after Jesus as hard as you can, and you look over and there's somebody else running after Jesus. Kai will tell you the very romantic way that we started our relationship. She was serving in preschool, and she was looking good. And I went back there, and she was talking to somebody. I said, can I speak to you real quick? I said, have you ever considered being a pastor's wife? Best pickup line in the world. Some of you are like, he didn't. I did, and it was awesome. That was my big pickup line. She goes, why, yes, I have considered that. You know, married 4 years later, okay? Now I'm married this month for 7 years. Come on, somebody. Vera. So, moving on. That's my story. Now, here's what I want to do. I want these people to come up pretty quickly, but I have some people that want to share their story about being a servant and serving with their time. Go ahead and come up while I'm talking, guys. Those of you that have testimonies, give it up for them as they come. Run down, run down, run down. Absolutely. Oh, you did it. Okay, awesome. Run on down. Blaine, you're the slowest runner on earth. You were in the Army. What's happening? Do-do-do-do-do. 10 to 1, you don't get there on time. Okay. Look at these awesome people. Give it up for them just one more time. Now, here's why they're up here. You hear my story, and you're like, yeah, you're a pastor. Okay, these people are not pastors. And so they have an interesting perspective that you might be encouraged by. So, Ed, why don't you just talk to the people?
All right. I serve because I thought you said 20. I serve others that they might receive. I just...
No, preach. Go on, preach.
Anyhow, I don't want to be so selfish that I come to church and sit in my chair and sit like a sponge and take everything that this man has to offer and not do something with it. He put on the board a couple weeks ago, what you do for yourself dies with you. What you do for others goes on. Serving, to me, when Pastor Kobe called me at midnight last night and asked me if I'd do this, I thought, oh my. But I want to tell you what serving meant to me. Serving is an inward gratification that you only experience once you serve. So get on board and just do it.
That's awesome. One thing about Ed also, like the church, the culture of the church, all of that stuff for Ed and Sheila, think about how much it's changed. You know, I know they're in their like early 40s, but like it's changed a lot in your lifetime. And look at them. They're here. They've got their hand on us being like, yes, you can. We're behind you. We're serving with you. Let's do this thing. So I just love you and thank you for your support.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to take mine straight from the beginning. I'll keep it under 3 minutes. I got saved when I was 16 years old. I was a sophomore in high school. And I was the guy who would show up late on purpose, miss worship, leave early. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was scared to build a relationship. I was scared that I would be judged because, you know, I didn't have that solid God-like faith. I didn't have the relationship with Jesus Christ. I was timid. I was scared. Fast forward 3 years. I'm a sophomore in college playing baseball at the University of Findlay. Yep, I was. My school was paid. I was in PT school. I thought that's what I'm doing. This is what I'm going for. And I was just starting to read my Bible consistently. You know, I'm starting to pray. I'm starting to grow. And I was trying to learn how to be a yes man for God. You know, here I am, send me. I was trying to learn how to listen and say yes. And I heard God tell me, you know, your future's in Grand Rapids, which was, it was good and it was hard to hear. And I prayed about it, decided to go through with it, you know, gave up the scholarship and came home December of 2016. It was in January of that next month that Kaya actually sent me a text message saying, hey, would you like to usher? You can serve, and you can still be in all the services. And I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And at this point, I'm still a little scared, still a little timid. And my first day serving was Scott Fitzpatrick was showing me the ropes and teaching me and training me. And I found out pretty quickly that, oh, these people are the regular people. They love the Lord. They love the Lord. They want to see people connect to God. And it really put me to rest. It calmed me down. Yeah, it affected my life. I started serving, and I'll tell you 100% fact for my life, I didn't see the spiritual breakthrough. I didn't see the favor and the blessing of God on my life until I made that decision to build His house. Mm-hmm. Until I made that decision, everything started to change. I received my call into ministry. Yeah. I'm not saying everybody who serves is going to be called into ministry, but yeah, it's been amazing, and it's been an awesome outpour. So
yeah, give it up for Brian, and gave up a full ride scholarship to come be an usher at New Chapel. Think about that, you know, and that's incredible. Casey, you have a great story. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I kind of grew up in the church. I'm going to keep it under 3 minutes, too. I kind of grew up in the church, but college and life really pulled me away from God. And I actually got a mailer, which maybe some of you did, too, for New Chapel almost 3 years ago. And I decided to come to church. And so, honestly, the first time I walked through the doors, I think I saw Pastor Colby and then even a few other faces that now I'm friends with. And honestly, no offense to you, Pastor Joe, but it wasn't the message that kept me. It was the people that I met that I fell just so in love with, and I just felt the love of God. He's dying. and I couldn't understand why they had so much, like, genuine joy in their hearts. And whenever I left the doors the first time, I kept questioning it, like, why are these people different? And it just kept bringing me back. And so I think maybe a month after I started coming to New Chapel, I started serving. I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. I just signed up. But now I'm on the guest services team, and I get to just pour out the love of Christ for other people. And, you know, I will be honest, there are times that I'm like, oh, I want to sleep in on Sunday. I want to just stroll on in at 10:30. But putting my flesh aside and serving other people has been such a blessing to me and has really given me breakthrough in my family, too.
Blaine and I attended the same youth group in Rusty Nail USA, and Blaine, you're an Army veteran, and I just want to honor you before you even speak. Thank you for your service. Awesome. Tell us your story.
Well, like Joe said, I grew up in church. I mean, we went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday. Then I became a young adult and moved out and backslid. And did what I wanted to do. Yeah. I joined the military and did 6 years. Met my wonderful wife. We had our son and another baby on the way.
Yeah.
And during my 6 years, I didn't go to church. I maybe came once in a while. Went to New Chapel. And actually, Joe asked if I wanted to help launch it. And I said, oh, I'll think about it, knowing full well that I'm not qualified to do this right now. You don't want me on your team. And I got out of the military, and for a while I was depressed and angry because I didn't know. I felt like I lost a part of me. And Joe actually reached out and had coffee with me and asked, well, what's your part to do? I said, well, I feel like security. I said, but I don't feel like I'm qualified to do that. And he looked straight at me and he said, well, the same thing you said today. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the unqualified. Since then, I've helped him numerous times, met Brian, Ed, other members of the team. It's an amazing feeling seeing people come in here to praise and worship, to worship the Lord, get saved. It makes you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do. It puts your heart at ease. So if you feel like you can't serve or you're not worthy to serve, you're wrong. You're wrong. You can serve. And
drop the mic. Why don't you give it up for these guys one more time? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys going down. Thank you so much. I had more that I could say. We're over already, but let me just tell you something. What you heard here is real. It's from people's hearts. And I love what Blaine said. You know, I'm not looking for perfect people here because God's not looking for perfect people. Can we all just be honest? We're on a journey. But when we take the journey together and we say, hey, you know what? I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was, and I'm so much better off with Jesus. And man, you take that perspective and you serve God's people, I'm going to tell you, you will get from here to there. It's that significance piece that's missing, that piece that wants to believe that there's something more in this world. It's found when you're serving other people. And I don't want you to think that it's just at New Chapel. It's not. But it's a great place to serve. And I think you shouldn't leave here today without praying, at least, about what God's spot is for you. And so before I pray, I'm going to just say this. If you filled out that card, I want you to leave it on your seat. That's going to be the most effective way for us to be able to gather those after service today. Also, if you would like, maybe keep your information private. There's those black boxes by the doors. You could fold it and slip it right in there if you didn't want your information to be out there. I understand that too. However you do it, get it to us, because listen, guys, we're going to do some significant things in 2018 together. Amen, somebody. Lord, I love you so much. Thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. God, I thank you that, Lord, as we preach this today, that it was just a message in season. We need this, God. We need the significance that you have for us to pour out of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that as we preach this, you moved on people's hearts. And that, God, the people in this room right now, they just know it. I just got to sign up. Maybe they're playing tennis back in their head, back and forth. Should I do it? Should I not? No, God, I thank you that you solidify that decision for them and give them peace about it. Give them the bold step of filling out a piece of paper. We love you, Lord. We thank you that we're going to build this team, build this church, and then the gates of hell won't prevail against him. Love you, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone in this room right now that doesn't know you, help me to find them. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.